and welcome to Minute 7 of the Great Escape Minute, the daily podcast where we dig into the Great Escape 1 minute at a time. I'm Tom.
And I'm Rob.
And joining us again today is Jay.
Hello. I came back. You didn't let me leave.
I keep that cellar in my basement for a reason. So minute
seven. I've started digging, but I just don't know where to put the dirt. Can't find anyone.
Good. Minute 7 starts with Danny saying it is a long way to dig. And it ends with a German starting to introduce themselves. So we get the ending of Danny and Willie's conversation. And we also get our first allusion to Big X. The Gestapo may or may not have gotten their hands on.
Yeah, so again, I mentioned yesterday that Rob managed to pick, or you find some segment without Steve McQueen in. My great love of all cinema is Jurassic Park, which features Richard Attenborough. Again, you found a segment without Richard Attenborough in it. So again,
really, you like Jurassic Park?
I think I've mentioned it. It comes up now and then in every conversation I have with anyone ever.
So. I think you prefer Jaws.
It's okay. Jaws is okay, I guess. I mean, if you haven't got Jurassic Park, if you're looking at pre-93 Spielberg work, then I guess Jaws would be up there. So. You have a future guest, Richard Kirkham, who will listen to this and shut the podcast off in rage.
It's not even his first movie, so that's fine. What I found interesting is actually that Danny doesn't say it's a long way to dig. He says it's a long ways to dig. Meaning Charles Bronson's trying to show that his Polish character cannot speak English.
Well, okay, Charles Bronson didn't speak English as a primary language until he was in the military during World War II.
No, he's Lithuanian.
But he was born in Pennsylvania.
Right, but he grew up speaking
Lithuanian.
Lithuanian in his house. Like, he joined the army in part to learn how to speak English.
Also, he's hitting his V's very hard in his speech as well. So that's again, yes. Really like enunciating that he's not a native English speaker.
Yes.
His character is Polish. Right. So
it's like Gene Hackman in The Bridge Too Far, you know, where he plays a Polish paratrooper.
I'll have to take your word for that one. I haven't got that far yet.
All right. No, it's interesting that they mentioned the Big X. Oh, they wish Big X was there. I mean, here they just got into the camp, and they've already seen who all 250 or 300 prisoners are. They know that Big X is not there. It's a little too quick for them to already know that information.
Also, I really hope this friend of ours gets captured by the Nazis and imprisoned with the rest of them. Yeah, it makes your jobs a bit easier, but come on.
You can think of plausible reasoning for it. I mean, maybe he was in the camp with them and, you know, he should have been on the truck with them and he wasn't. So therefore they said, okay, I guess he's not coming with us. I mean, you can think of different excuses, but it's just really funny that's the first thing they say. Oh, too bad Big X isn't with us.
We have no direction without him. What are we supposed to do? Just mill around like chickens?
And we have no idea who or what Big X is. You know, unless you've seen this movie before, you know it's Attenborough. But if you haven't, you know, they said, oh, I wish Big X was with us. Maybe this is a tunneling tool or something like that. You know, maybe it's a way to cut through the wire easier. I mean, there's a whole bunch of things that it could be.
It's Professor X from the X-Men.
That's true. There's another example. That's very true. He'll hypnotize all the German guards, and you'll be able to quickly get out of there.
Well, now I'm thinking, flashing back to yesterday, now I'm thinking of Patrick Stewart or McAvoy playing Big X in the remake.
No, Patrick Stewart would he would be Ramsey.
Yes, absolutely, he'd be Ramsey. And McAvoy would be a good Big X, I think. I think that would work. He can play like haunted. He can when Big X arrives, he has the saddest eyes I've ever seen Richard Attenborough have in the scene when he arrives. But I think McAvoy would play that really well. That's a good idea. Yes, Tom, let's remake this now. Let's go. Come on.
That's not.
I think we should start keeping track of all this.
We've recast Deep Blue Sea a dozen times. I think with so many different films.
Right after this scene, it's really funny. I don't know if you guys noticed, but they show them opening and closing the main gate. Yeah. And did you notice the way that the soldiers walk there? They have them march forward two steps and then three steps backwards. you know, in order to open, in order to move the gate. It's just really funny that, you know, they're synchronized, you get synchronized swimmers there. Well, you know, move back and forth.
One side is and one side isn't.
Yeah.
Right, no, I'm talking about the guys on the right.
March forward, march back. Guys on the left, they're like, oh, I don't know what we're doing.
Exactly. It's like, okay, these extras were told what to do and these weren't.
The guys on the left need to be reprimanded because they haven't trained properly, I think.
Right, yeah. To the front.
Yeah.
To the Russian front. Zip to the Russian front.
The guards at this camp, for the most part, it's a pretty easy gig, isn't it? Guarding.
Well, we discussed this last week, the fact that most of the guards look really bored. You know, they're not even close to their guns. You know, they're like, let someone try to run away.
Just a bunch of unarmed prisoners. There's dozens of us who are keeping them in here. Oh, yeah, it's
right.
An easy job.
Right. I mean, as we see later on, they never really shoot anybody. They shoot at them or they miss, you know.
Some people, a person gets shot.
Okay, one person. But come on, he was such a target, even though he's living.
In a three-hour film.
In a three-hour war film.
Yeah. Well, we get more people getting shot later in the movie, but only one person gets shot by the guards here.
In the camp, yeah.
Right. Oh, yeah. It's true. And then we get to see, right after that, it goes back to Ramsay and McDonald. You know, they're just standing there waiting, looking around.
Yeah, it's like the most British performance.
Exactly. What are you waiting for? And they're like, oh, we're waiting for someone to tell us what to do, you know.
Well, and first you get Ramsay taking he's getting helped out of his jacket, and he's taking it off with such aggression that I just don't think we see with people getting helped out of their jacket anywhere else.
That's true. Maybe he doesn't want Mac to help him. He's like quite content to take his own jacket off, and then Mac starts to help him. Oh, God. He's just furiously trying to get away from him. But Mac just spends the whole film. I really like Mac as a character, but he's always like someone's assistant. He's like either Big X's or Ramsay's like second in command. Maybe he's just like a hanger on.
Right. I mean, we discussed this last week. That Tom thinks that he's actually the XO, but I don't think so, because if you look at their ranks, you see that McDonald is much lower ranked than a lot of the other characters. I think he's a first lieutenant.
He's another flight lieutenant.
Flight lieutenant, right?
The same as beloved Cavendish.
Yeah.
And Danny.
Right. So I think he's more of an assistant than anything else. Even though he obviously also has a very important job throughout the whole thing.
Yes.
You know, he's intelligence. He's actually based on someone who actually made it out alive. Someone named George Harsh Jr., who lived until 1980. So he's a flight lieutenant OF2. So to say that he's the XO is a problem because Ramsay, for instance, is a group captain, which is an OF5.
Maybe he's the aide de camp then.
Could be. Okay, that's possible.
Forgive me, what does the XO mean? What's
executive officer, second in command.
Okay. I see, okay.
Yeah. Oh, sorry about that, Jim.
Hey, no worries. It's for the listeners. I understand.
Oh, okay, good.
And we also get our first of many absolutely ridiculous British salutes. I've seen, you know, active duty British personnel do it, and every time I see it, I just can't help but chuckle myself a little bit, the whole open hand out. I understand the history and where it comes from. It just looks flat out silly and like it should be in Monty Python.
It looks absolutely fine to me, because that's how I've just always known salutes to be. So I'm guessing you prefer the palm facing down, I guess, or palm facing towards the face, I guess.
Yeah.
Which we all just did to the camera. Good. let's see, have you ever watched Red Dwarf, the British sitcom?
No, I've never seen
it. Okay, there is a character in that called Rimmer, who is a hologram, but that's not important to the what I'm saying, and he creates a salute to his captain. It's set in space, and it's the most glorious, over-the-top, flourishing salute in the world. So any salute I've seen since then just looks absolutely fine, because it doesn't involve like rotating your hand at the wrist five times on its way up to your forehead with a bow and a skip and who knows what else. So this is just a regular salute to me.
Interesting. Did either of you seen the movie The Last Castle by Rod Lurie, starring Robert Redford and James Gandolfini? Okay, so in that movie, not going to get into the whole what it's all about, but Robert Redford is basically a general who's serving time in a military prison, and he teaches another one of the characters, Clifton Collins Jr., about the art of salute and, you know, where they originally came from and things like that. So, and the funny thing is, in that movie, Redford himself kept getting the salute wrong. So he had to do that scene like 20 times before he was actually get it right. Oh,
Robert Redford, what are you doing?
Where did he learn to act, you know?
With the salutes we see here, like Ramsay's salute is crisp, it's clean, the hand is flat. Max, the hand's a bit more curved. I feel like Max not got his heart into it. Ramsay understands the situation he's in, and he's saluting. It's the Banner Brothers thing. You salute the rank, not the man. Like, exactly. Whereas Mac is more like, this guy's a nuts. Yeah, I don't want to salute this guy. Like, so he's not like straightening his hand. He's just going, okay, fine, whatever. I'm going to do it, but I'll get.
Right. What's interesting here is that you actually see that, you know, that it's all done in a very polite and respectful way. Mm. That, you know, you have this German officer coming. I think his name is Strachwitz, played by Harry Reibauer, which I can't tell you anything about his film history. That doesn't matter. But he comes over and he says, will you accompany me, please? You know, it's like, and if I say no, you know, it should be come with me or yeah. Something to that. You know, he's to me. And then I love Mac's response to the whole thing. He looks at Ramsay and says, I'll look after your gear, sir. Meaning, okay, what?
As a point, you're just going to drop it in the dirt? What do you think is going to happen?
Exactly. You know, and he's already holding it. It's not as if, you know, because Mac is holding his cane before he gives it to Ramsay, you know.
It is a nice coat as well that jacket takes off. It's got that nice lamb's wool interior. It looks like quite a warm day. I'm not surprised he's taken it off, but it's a nice coat. I would like right. that taken care of as well.
Right. I mean, it's interesting to think about what time of year this is because we have absolutely no idea. I mean, we know when the escape in the movie happens. It happens in July. The real escape happened in March.
A lot worse weather than they depict in the film.
Right. And one of the things that they mention in the book is the fact that, you know, you had escape season was from the spring to the fall because in the winter there was nowhere to dig. You know, the ground was too hard.
I don't think there's escape season. That's great.
I could probably try to find the quote. They called it something like that.
Especially like Bugs Bunny and Hilts in the wood, each one turning a sign around. It's rabbit season. It's escape season. Rabbit season. Escape season.
All right, I'll have to look at that. Maybe tomorrow I'll be able to tell you guys what that was called.
Yeah, Harry Reibauer has appeared in nothing else that I've seen. It seems to be mostly German films and TV shows, which makes sense.
And then from there they walk into the office, which is funny because you have one of the Germans sitting and typing, and it doesn't look like he's really typing anything because at one point it seems as if he just uses the same finger over and over in the same key.
He's hunting and pecking.
No, but more than that because he's just doing the same.
He's not hunting. He's
just pecking the whole time.
Important part of life in the military is looking like you're being productive, because as long as you look like it, people won't ask you to do anything else.
That's not true. It's not only in the military. It's everything in life.
It's every office job.
Make people think that you're doing something, and they think you're really busy. I'm trying to remember what it was. There was some movie or TV show where someone did nothing the entire time, but he just made himself look busy.
Office Space.
Could be.
It works like 15 minutes a week. It was 40 minutes of actual work a week, yeah. So, and this guy, he has the worst place to sit as well, because his boss is just behind him. So his boss is looking at him, seeing how much work he's doing all day, and whether he's actually typing or not. That's the worst place to sit. I'd be sorry for this typist, this lexicographer, whatever his role is.
Oh, do either of you have any more notes for this minute?
Nope, I've got nothing.
So that's me, Dan.
Jay, do you want...
I'm guessing you talked about Mac and Gordon Jackson last week when you first saw him.
We touched on him a little bit.
He's one of my favorite characters as well, and his comeuppance getting onto the bus at the end is always one of those heartbreaking moments when you just in all film you think, oh, this time everyone always says, like, whenever they watch the film they think, this time Hiltz is going to make the jump on the motorbike. For me, it's this time Mac's not going to say thank you getting on the bike. He's this time he's going to just ignore him, just carry on. Never happens.
Especially when he, you know, I think it's Haynes earlier on that he catches up on it.
The oldest book in the book.
Well, that's the irony of it. I actually do have one other thing I wanted to say. In the book, they actually mention that there wasn't just a big X, there was also a little X and a little S. You know, they had in each barracks, they had different people who were responsible for everyone in those barracks for that particular job. So I thought that was really interesting that the movie doesn't even mention that. They say that they have this large organization, but whole X organization, but they never go into the specifics of saying, okay, you're the big X, you're in charge of the planning for everyone, and then here we have in this barracks, you're little X, and you're little X1, and you're little X2, and who knows?
They use the term Big X as though that's Bartlett's nickname across the whole of American military. Like, he is Big X, not like he's Big X of this camp.
And he wasn't even the first Big X. There was Roger Bushell, the character that Bartlett is based on, became Big X after the original Big X actually escaped from one of the camps, and he was on a boat. And the boat capsized and he drowned. So he never even found his body, if I remember correctly.
He's the former Big X, or the ex-Big X.
That's true.
The artist formerly known as Big X.
There we go. This is horribly bad. We heard that he died. So good.
Yeah.
Well, Jay, do you want to tell everyone where they can find you on the internet?
Yes, I have a personal blog, Life Versus Film, that I've been running for a long time, but haven't done nearly as many reviews as you'll find on Rob's site, on the movie Rob, because, you know, I don't just watch films all day. I just have other things to do.
So do I. I just do it at the same time.
Yes, I'm not able to, Rob. I don't review a film whilst watching the next one. It seems to be that you do. My site, lifevsfilm.com, is where my main goal is going through the 1001 movies you must see before you die list. I had a goal to do that. I was supposed to finish it about 8 years ago. I've yet to reach halfway. But The Great Escape is on that list, so hurrah. Deep Blue Sea, somehow not on that list. I don't understand why. But yeah, so I'm reviewing that. I'm reviewing list films and other lists I'm going through and films I see recently and general updates on my life. And generally apologizing for not reviewing more is the main thing I seem to be writing on the site. But yeah, lifevsfilm.com.
You do that less than you used to.
Yes, I try to write more.
Yeah. By the way, I found a quote in the book. The first tunnel was just under the wire with about 8 feet to go to freedom when they ran into a spring and water gushed up and flooded them out. They started another tunnel in another direction. The Germans found it. Winter closed in and the escape season was temporarily over. There you go. You can't hike 200 miles over snow without much food and no shelter to a friendly border.
So which tunnel was it that sprung a leak?
No, this is from a different camp. So they do mention that it's called escape season, which I think is really funny.
Yes, that is great. I'm going to use that. Yeah, I will. Friday, 5 o'clock is escape season.
Well, we hope you
make sure it's not during the winter.
Well, we hope all of you guys can join us tomorrow. Jay, if you've been good, so maybe I'll bring you down to dinner tonight, but you're still not getting out of my basement.
Oh, goddamn.
Subscribe to the podcast, review us on whatever podcaster you use. If you want to email us, it's at thegreatminute@gmail.com. Join our Facebook group, The Cooler. Check us out on our website, thegreatescapeminute.com, or follow us on Twitter at greatescapemxm. Tally-ho.
Tally-ho.
Tally-ho.